How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm better now.
I'm amazing.
We just finished up shooting. Yeah. Is that loud enough for you? Can you hear me good?
I can hear good.
Okay. I'm half deaf, so I'm going to turn me
You're
up
You're inside me right now.
It's like I've been all day.
Yes.
So we just finished up doing a shoot for kink.com for the Hogtie channel. Yeah. And we had you strung up. We had you in the air all day. We did fun, dirty things. But at your suggestion, actually, which I love, was why don't we start the podcast off with talking about consent and the checklist that we actually use for kink.com. So let's start with, do you want to talk about the no's that we weren't going to do today? Or
well, we could just go through in order if you want. I think that probably the audience will be interested to know that we even have a consent list, because
that's true.
Perhaps people don't understand how we shoot such hardcore films,
right,
and do it ethically and do it safely. And okay, part of it is having the consent form. So,
all right. So we'll do that. That's a good one. So we start with the BDSM activities, which is there's clamps, clothespins, and each one of these has its own thing. So for, make sure there's nothing on here that's personal that I can't show anyone. I just won't show them the last page. So the wide angle, you can kind of see this. This is what we do. And then there's a third sheet, but you don't get to see that because it's got personal information.
I would have written more neatly if I knew that I was showing it. But
well, I did it really quick. And then more stuff there. That's really good handwriting. That's fine.
Oh, it's excited handwriting. It's like, yeah, I'm going to get, I'm going to do crazy things.
So
what's so secret? Oh, I mean, no, that's fine. I use my real name. Like, what are they going to do?
Okay.
Copy
right.
My signature.
Well, there, now you see. It's her real name. Yeah. And you can also find this. We actually, kink.com, 6 to 9 months ago, actually made it public. And they were like, these are the consent forms that we use. Here's our checklist. Here's our bill of rights for the models. Like, we put everything out there because it was something that needed to happen, I think, in the industry. So we started off with, we have clamps, clothespins, flogging and whipping, spanking and paddling, face slapping, caning, tickling, gags and oral toys, breath control and choking, forced orgasms and masturbation, electrical play that includes zappers, tens, and cattle prods, hot wax, mummification, restraints, which are ropes or devices, water play, which is dunking, spraying, dripping, or in my case, waterboarding. And then we have verbal humiliation, anal, which is the butthole, in case anyone doesn't know that part. And then there's blindfolds and hoods, and then animal role play, which is bark like a dog, etc.
And there's three columns. There's right. A yes column, a no column, or a column needs discussion or comments.
Right. So this way you get to go through, and that's just the receiving and experience BDSM activities. So that way every model that comes in gets to fill this out. They get the three sheets, and it's kind of like, I tell everybody, it's kind of like when you go to like a sauna, or like a, you know, the place where you get treated, like the spa. Mm-hmm. You get to go in and you get to say, hey, I want the hot rocks and I want the upper back and the blah, blah, blah. And you get to tell them, you go through the checklist and pick out what you want, and you sit back and enjoy and let them do their job. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is kind of similar to that. And then with the comment section, you can put things like there's she has clothespins. She said yes, but then in the discussion area, she wrote no zipper.
Yes.
Because she can't be marked. God damn it.
No.
So
I work too much.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love you, but I don't have that much money to pay you not to go to work or to compensate you from not working. So you get to go through and you get to pick out details and be very specific about what you like, what you don't like. So you can say yes, no, or you can do to just, you know, the need the discussion. And then we have general sensitivity, which is under the physical sensitivity. And we have the definitions, which are strong, medium, low, and no. And there's the hair pulling, face slapping, pecs and breast, nipples, butt cheeks, bottoms of feet, neck choking, upper back and shoulders, pubic mound and mons pubis, outer labia, inner labia, clitoris. Can't even talk right now. I'm trying to go through this. And the hood. And these are all strong, medium, low, and no. And obviously we know what no is. Strong means it's tough, and it goes down from there. And then we have marks on the skin, and you can be marked or you cannot be marked, and you get to choose what areas you can be marked in. And then there's a safe word, just to kind of remind people that red means stop and yellow means slow down or mercy. And every model gets this. Does it make you feel comfortable when you go on set to get stuff like this?
Yeah, it does, especially in a scenario like this where we are pushing boundaries. Well, perhaps that's not the best word, because I've actually put boundaries there that you're not that are hard nosed.
Right.
But I'm a performer that I like to be pushed a little bit further than my comfort zone.
Right.
So by lining it out like this, and we have a discussion beforehand where you can even see, like, I did a tentative tick on strong here because I wasn't sure if I put strong that would be like a challenge, because I'm right. Like, oh, I can take it, but you know, I'm not trying to be tough.
I'm like, not daring you to do
I'm
something.
I'm not daring. I'm saying, like, I can take it, but so there's an open discussion, and you check in with me even when, like, during a scene to make sure I'm okay, and those things make me feel safe. And when I feel safe, I can actually go further, and I right. can go harder than I would in a different situation. Right. So,
and it's the control thing, I think, too. That I think that makes the big well, there's two things. I think that having the reputation makes all the difference in the world, because there's a reason you were like, I want to work with JP. And most of the girls like, I want to work with, or I'm okay with him. Because if they don't know who I am, they ask around and like, oh, and most models are like, I know who this guy is. He's good. He's been doing it for so long, blah, blah, blah. So you throw that in with the trust level, which I tell everybody is probably one of the harder things I have to do, because it's like I have to meet new people and within an hour or two have you trust me enough to tie you up and torture you.
Yeah.
Which is in itself a task.
But that's why it's so cool when, like, being able to work with you on multiple occasions, because the first time I came in here, I was like, absolutely no on electricity. Hard no, no. And then after working with you, it's like, I trust you completely. Electricity scares me so much, but yes, you can. I did say no on the, what did I say? No on the hard, on the, I crossed out cattle prod. I was like, baby steps.
Yeah, and that's like I was telling you, that's something that actually hurts your feelings. Like, it's mean as fuck.
Mm, and I'm not actually a masochist. I'm more of a submissive. So right. I don't want to, I like feeling the pain in conjunction with your dominance, but just feeling like just pain that's going to hurt my feelings. I don't know that I'll ever be there.
There's, you know, it's everybody's different. There's, who's the one that's like a really big, yeah, Kira Noir.
Mm-hmm.
She loves electricity. She's like, bring the cattle prod and just keep going.
Wow.
She loves it. But I think it's a love hate. There's people who are like, fuck yes, I love it. Or there's people that are like, don't get close to me with that or I'll fucking punch you in the dick. Like, there's no in between. That's like, I mean, there's people that are like, I could take it or leave it. But there's most of people are either fuck no or fuck yes.
Well, never say never. Maybe one day I'll be like, you know what?
You never know.
Yeah, I only live once. Just.
But it may only happen once. You'll be like, that's it. No more. I'm trying to see, is there anything else on here? This was pretty, I mean, the reason we use these is, and like I wanted to go over it with you once you brought it up, was because it is important, because there's so, and I feel like if this happened on a normal set, like if you walked onto a boy girl set and they were like, hey, Angela, can you fill this out and tell us, because these are the activities, there's going to be blowjob and blah, blah, blah. And it has everything on here. And you could say, I love deep throating, or I don't like deep throating, or like we were talking earlier, well, maybe not so deep. Mm-hmm. I like blowjobs, but I don't like to have my throat fucked hard. Or I like anal, but I don't do double anal or anything. Even if it was just a handful of yes or no's, I feel like that would be better than just walking on set and your co-star going, I think that one time that we worked together, she might have liked this. Mm. And then assuming that they're going to remember after all the scenes that they've done with all these other people. And it's just, I feel like this is a, I think it would be cool if they put it on all the sets.
Well, the way I handle situations on sets where there isn't this kind of guideline is that it doesn't matter if I've worked with someone 100 times. I'm always going to ask them, what do you feel like doing today?
Right.
Because just because you've done one thing 1,000 times and enjoyed it on camera doesn't mean that today your body is ready for whatever the act is. So I think it's always best practice to ask, like, What do you feel like doing today? What do you definitely not want me to do? And usually at least that gives you a verbal guideline. And these, I mean, these are great because they are a guideline, but they can only really be a guideline because there's spontaneity on set where,
right.
I mean, this is, when it comes to kink, I feel like it's more controlled because
right.
you're dealing with things that, you know, if done improperly could be harmful.
Right.
Whereas with a regular boy-girl scene, it's the I guess the stakes aren't necessarily as high. Like as long as you respect the other person's boundaries, if they've said absolutely do not touch me there or kiss me there or whatever. Right. But you also need to, well, I should say that as the performer that I am, I like a space for spontaneity on set. I feel like that's where the magic is. So I don't want everything listed out like these are the acts we're going to do in this order and this is how you're going to react, this is how I'm going to react. I like to have my boundaries pushed.
Right.
So within the safe space of the porn set and with, you know, any hard no's that I may have set forward throughout the day, anything goes.
Right.
Outside of those no's
right.
for me.
And I like it too because the way I do it on set, and I feel like most kink directors are the same way. I think we all came up in the armory and that was a very strict standard. That's like, this is the way things roll and you're inside of a building. You're not shooting all over the place. So you're here and it's controlled and we have an eye on you. So I think it's been instilled in all of us. But like the way I was telling you earlier, is I was like, it's in stone for me, but it's not for you. Mm. So you can be like, oh yes, I can't wait for you to put clothespins all over me, and I put the first clothespin on. Today's not the day. I don't want clothespins anymore. And there's no repercussion. There's no any. Okay, we're not doing clothespins.
Yeah.
But it's also because we have a list that's 3 pages long. It's not like we're gonna fuck doggy style, cowgirl, blah blah blah, and don't lick behind my left ear, you know, or whatever. Because I know there are those things too, where it's like, don't do that thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's more that we can go to if you do say no, opposed to. But you also have to be creative. You have to be spontaneous, like you said. You have to be like, okay, she doesn't want clothespins, but I have other things.
Yes.
I still never took you behind the wall and showed you what's back there.
No, but it's kind of nice that there's this like mysterious section in this warehouse where I'm like, I don't know what, like you disappear back there, like in between scenes. I'm like, where did he go?
What's back there? And like I said, it's just storage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Storage.
So maybe after the podcast or maybe next time, or maybe you can just wait and always wonder what's back there.
I kind of like that.
I have my own masseuse. They just rub my shoulders when
that I would be sad that you weren't sharing.
That would suck, right?
Yeah. Like,
okay, you can leave now. do you feel, since we're kind of talking about this, do you feel like in this industry as a whole, are you satisfied with the way things are handled on set?
My personal experience in the industry has been amazing. And right. So I have to say that I'm really happy with how things are handled on set. I can't speak for other people, but obviously I am in a privileged position where I have a name and I have an incredible agent. And so right. I'm working with, you know, the top producers and directors in the industry. So and those sets are run very fairly and ethically, and right. I always feel safe. So my experience in the industry has been incredible.
Good.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. And I feel like most of them are. And it goes to like the best, the way you even answered that was your experience. Mm-hmm. And almost, I'd say 99% of the people that I speak to, every once in a while you hear a bad story, but there's never this like horror story, especially that dun, dun, dun. I got a button over there I could probably push to make that sound. Now I'm going to look and see if I can find it. But there's every once in a while you hear that it's actually labeled this. You ready?
Yeah.
But I feel like the most part, it's not that you hear like this, that doesn't sound the best ideal situation, but it's wasn't me. I wasn't there. And just like you and I could do the exact same thing all day long. And then when you go home and I go home and people ask us how our day was, it's going to be a different opinion. It could be, oh, it was great, but, or it was perfect, or it could have been better. Like it's so, I feel like it's always interpretation. Depending on the person. So, you know, people go, oh, well, this happened, that happened. You don't hear the whole story. You weren't there. So that's why it's kind of one of those, it is what it is.
Well, also, I mean, I've found when I've heard stories that aren't that aren't as good, like experiences on sets that haven't been as good. It's often not the professional companies. It's you hear someone kind of posing as a director on Craigslist or something.
Or you show up and they have shop lights and a handy cam, and or they're doing it with their phone and they're like, this is for my POV shoot. Yeah.
Yeah. So on that note, anyone who does plan on getting into the industry, do your research. Yeah.
Lots of it. Ask yes. around. Yes. And I feel like at most of the performers, I feel like all of us, and I'm obviously not at the, but there's bigger, a lot bigger stars than I, but I feel like coming into the industry, most of us are willing to, hey, I will say that was a cool place to work,
yes.
or I will say this wasn't so great, or stay away from that, or stay away from this. I feel like most yeah. of us are that way, I yeah. think.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. So it's a community.
I know.
Yeah.
And for the most part, sharing and protect, because we are, we're super tight-knit. It's almost incestuous how small, because it's like there's a lot of stuff going on, but there's a very small circle of us that are constantly around each other and working.
Yeah.
So
these are the prepared questions.
I have a couple prepared.
Here's ones I cooked up earlier.
Yeah, I wish I could say that I did better at being prepared for this, but it's the holiday season and I was more focused on having you tied up and looking really at what it's
That's
not like
what I wanted you focused on.
Yeah. I was focused on today's shoot and this was the let's think about it as we're going. Since we're still here, we'll talk about this one first. What is it about doing BDSM shoots that turns you on so much?
Can I say you? Honestly, like, no, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but I'm not part of the lifestyle. I'm right. not really that into BDSM. If I was going to watch porn myself, it wouldn't be the porn that I watch.
Right.
But I've mentioned this, you know, in our interviews and stuff, but it's all about chemistry and right. and energy for me. And you have a certain presence that that really gets me excited. And
thank you.
I mean, you probably noticed in my career, I pretty much only do it with you. I mean, it's there's a reason for that.
Right.
And not to say, I mean, I like power play and I like being submissive. I'm not really like switching too, but if it was like how I'd naturally like to be, I like someone to dominate me, and
right.
I trust you and I feel safe with you, and I love doing this with you. Right. I love being tied up by you. I love the way you make me feel when we're. I was going to say fucking. I know we don't actually fuck, but to me, it is fucking. The definition of fucking is very limited, and what we do is fuck, even if you right. never penetrate me with your penis.
Right.
And when we're fucking, I feel incredible. So, so what do I love most about BDSM? I mean, I like the vulnerability. I even like when you're tying me up and it's not even part of the scene.
Like just the process of getting into it.
Exactly. And I feel maybe guilt's not the right word, but you're just chatting and we're just talking and you're just lifting up my boob and putting the rope, and I'm like enjoying it so much. And I'm just trying to like act super normal because the camera isn't rolling, and I'm like, well, you know.
But you know, that's a thing I feel. And there's rope bunnies or rope sluts, and it's like when that rope starts to go on, there's this arousal, or there's this super like overly comfortable, like that's what I needed. It's like a hug or like a nice blanket on you almost.
It's definitely, it's an embrace.
Right.
You're embracing me with the rope, and I love that. And I almost love that you're so nonchalant about it. Like you're just doing it. You're not like, like with an erection behind me trying to fuck me. You're just like, you're just doing your thing, talking. And I am like, oh. You just lift up a boob and put it there. Like,
he just
oh.
touched my boob.
Yeah,
again.
Like, oh. And he touched it like it was nothing. So,
but just for the record, I do enjoy that. I'm very aware of what I'm doing, and there's those times where I'm like, okay, like I do, but I have to be the same way. I can't be like, oh, I touched your boob.
But it's almost hotter that you're not. Like anybody can sort of.
Well, I'm not being pervy.
You're not being pervy, and I think that's part of why it's so sexy to me, because you're just, I don't know how to explain it, but there's something sexy about you just doing your job,
right?
But I'm like melting from it.
Thank you.
So I like being tied up by you. I like the process. I like the vulnerability. It's this sort of, it's vulnerability, but also a safe vulnerability.
Right.
So I'm being embraced by the rope. And I think that's why I love the suspension so much, because even though in the scenes that we shot today, two of them were partial suspension, right. I'm immediately lifting my legs because I want to feel...
And spinning.
Yeah, oh, the spinning was so cool because it made me so dizzy as well. So then I'm...
Do you have your phone on you? I should airdrop this while we're talking about this, because I've got the video to do.
I took a couple of pictures too, so I'll airdrop them to you. I took photos of the markings from the ropes. It was so sexy.
You guys are going to love this. This will be out soon.
Oh, no, people, your airdrop is not on, maybe.
Oh, it should be. It should be now. Is it on now? Let me see.
Let's see. Oh, maybe I have no... Oh, there you are. I don't know why it took... It's waiting for you.
Got it. And then... Oh, not to mention, I just was looking through there. We had some squirt.
Mm-hmm.
That was super hot. That's a new development.
No, I did squirt for you the first time.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know if I did in device bondage, but I did. I know.
It was the suspension with your legs, because mm-hmm. you were, I do remember that
yep,
now.
Yep.
Such a shit. I should remember better things like that.
It's okay. You remember the important things.
Oh, geez. I'm looking at some of these pictures. I was catching you as you were spinning. So there's no full frontal. And then there's a 16-second video. I'm just going to airdrop all of them to you.
I took some little selfies of me with my headphones on in case you want to
I love it. Because I'm so bad promo. About doing that. Like it's all over with and they're gone and I'm editing. I'm like, fuck, I
you
didn't get it.
You might need something to tweet.
Yeah. So that's why the last one I tweeted out, it was like, you know, me talking about sushi. As soon as I saw that, I laughed so hard. My wife was like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I showed her. She's like, you're not that funny. I was like, bitch, I'm funny. But, you know, you've met her. This is that's,
she's amazing.
That's the way we are. This should be coming in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That looks good.
I love that both just finished doing this and we're like, Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, my God. Look at my face in that one. I won't show YouTube. But
the one that caught my attention. I was like, holy shit.
I am out of it. I am loving it.
Yeah, that's fucking primal is what that is.
Yeah.
And everything's spinning
God,
and you...
My pussy's so swollen. Look at that one.
Yeah. Sorry, YouTube, you don't get to see this.
So we did the exit interview and I got off the chair and embarrassing, my pussy was dripping so much there was like an outline of my pussy. It's like, oh!
I love
Which
it.
Is, I mean, it's a good sign. But yeah, so back to your question. I love that. I love the vulnerability, and then I like that you take care of me.
Right.
So my enjoyment of BDSM is more the caring part than the pain or what's that domination. just for the record, I've come who knows how many times. So I'm doing very well just to be speaking.
You are.
Yeah.
I'm doing well to be speaking at this point. Surprised his arm hasn't fallen off.
Yeah, it made you work today.
I loved it. It was a labor of love.
Yes, thank you. Oh.
What was I going to say? I just had a thought, a good one.
I thought you only had bad thoughts.
I do. Yeah. But most of those stand. I don't have my hat on now. Most of those stay under the hat. Fuck, you just said something, and I was like, I should say that's a good thing to remember. That's why I need a notepad here.
Mm. Was it about the vulnerability and the being taken care of?
That's what it was, yeah. It was I think what you described is stuff that most of the people that watch the porn never get to see. They don't get to see what goes in before we say action. And there's a lot of people, and I won't say a lot, there's a decent amount of people that are like, why don't we ever get to see them going into the bondage? Why don't we ever see them coming out? And to me, the coming out of the bondage seems to be more intimate than going. I mean, the going in's fun, but coming out of it, you've been through the whole thing and the scene's done. And that's the moment where, and you've probably noticed this, we're not talking as much when we're taking you out. Like we're kind of letting you settle in and there's no, hey, get up and let me take this off you. It's like you lay there and then when you move and you're ready, we take it off.
Yeah.
And I say we because the infamous Disco is there helping out.
Yes.
Told you we were going to talk about him.
No, it's very, very intimate. And at the end of a scene like that, you're in such a again, a vulnerable state. You've come, you've experienced a lot of sensations, whether it's pain is not always the best word, but there's a lot going on.
Overstimulation.
Exactly. And so it's a lot. You can't even talk. Like sometimes I kind of become pre-verbal when I'm in that state or when I'm coming so much, and after the coming, I'm like, I'm not making any sense.
Right. And I think it's because it's, you get to a point where, well, one of the things, and I tease a lot about this, but it's, we kind of, I'm a little tell all here. There's not as many orgasms in normal mainstream porn as people like to think. Mm. Like that's, a lot of you girls do really well at earning your money, I should say, because I mean, and not that you guys don't enjoy yourself, obviously, yeah. But when you come onto sets with me, like, and I tell this off camera a lot of times to the girls, is I'm going to put as much effort into pleasing you as I am punishing you.
Yes.
Because I feel like it's, that's what I should do.
Yes. Thank you.
Like if you're going to let me do all of this mean shit, the least I could do is actually be good at making you come.
Yeah.
So.
Well, when it comes to mainstream porn, if that's the best word for it, it really depends on whether real orgasms happen, depend on the type of scene, the director, right. Who you're paired with, what the goal is for that scene. Because there's a lot of really beautiful porn that's shot that's really, you know, the angles are gorgeous and the women are in beautiful positions, but sometimes when you come, you don't do beautiful things. So if you're working for a company that really wants you to look beautiful even when you're orgasming, and they want you in reverse cowgirl, and
right, to keep your porn face on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very bad at that because I really like to just get into it. Yeah. But I mean, this is why I love gonzo porn so much, which, I mean, it gets a bad rap, but like gonzo porn, I get to have so many orgasms and I get to, right, really be spontaneous and I get to really be myself and just connect with whoever I'm with. So gonzo porn is incredible.
Right. Because there's not a, oh my God, I'm about to turn and change. Yeah, yeah. Give me cowgirl. All right, give me 5 minutes of doggy. And every time you're like, oh my God, I'm about to.
So close.
Pictures.
Or there's not a director screaming out from behind the camera saying, okay, come now. And you're like, well, my clit isn't being stimulated or it's not quite.
Hey, you've interrupted me 5 times in the last 2 minutes. You fuck. I can't come like this.
But to be fair, you know, it's still, I mean, you're still getting fucked. It's still enjoyable.
Right.
And I feel like the world does put too much emphasis on the orgasm. Like, don't get me wrong. I love to come.
Right.
But I love edging. So I love the lead up to, right, coming. So, and even with you, I, you know, we played with that in the last scene. Like if I could have a session or even do a porn scene where I didn't come for 3 hours, like force myself not to, like that would be incredible. But
make a fucking note so I know what we're doing next time, next holiday season.
It's torturous,
right?
But it's, I mean, the orgasm that you end up building up to is,
it's amazing, worth the wait.
Unless you ruin it, and then that's, I want to cry, right, if it's accidentally ruined.
Well, and that's one of the things I love to do with these, and unfortunately you can never be marked that, but when you do go home to visit, I'm getting your ass. But it's to have specifically the zipper that we talked about, mm-hmm, to have all of, because everything's pinched and it doesn't go numb. It may ease up a little, but you have your body covered in these things and now you're being forced to come. So now you have to really pay attention to your vagina because you're like, just, oh my God, I just got to stop worrying about the pain, and the pain is almost too much. And you keep focusing, and that clearly I've done this enough that I've gotten it from the girls. Because, well, it doesn't happen to me like that. Because I'm over with when it's done. But they sit there and hold and hold and hold. And then when the orgasm comes, the zipper's ripped off at the same time. And every time I've told them, a girl, that this is going to be the most extreme orgasm you've ever had, when it's over with, off camera, I'm like, how was it? They're like, oh, you were right, motherfucker. It hurt, yeah, like hell, but because of the overstimulation and the sensation being so strong on top of having an orgasm. Yeah.
So good.
So we're going to plan for next time.
Yes.
Next time. Damn it. We need more fucking holidays in this goddamn country. Just a Thanksgiving and fucking Christmas and that's it. What the fuck is that?
Oh.
So yeah, that's the thing. In case people don't know, it's not like we don't like working together. It's that you are such a busy woman that you can't And you can't be marked up because you're going to miss work. And then, like I said, that's you missing work is a lot of money. And we don't take chances like that. Yeah. And by we mean daddy. Daddy would kick everyone's ass. He would get his ass all the way to Vegas and kick off right in my
We're
ass.
We're talking about my agent, Mark Spiegler, yes. For those who... Yeah, it's unfortunate because I love shooting with you. I mean, in a way, it's almost edging because it's like a tease for the right. whole year because I have to wait till the end of the year for us to shoot together. But... Yeah, I'm sure that we would be shooting together much more I'm also an easy bruiser. Yeah. So that makes sense.
But I've also made a pretty good career out of hurting people and not leaving any marks.
You've been, yeah.
15 years deep, and I had one recently, and this was when Daddy Spiegs wasn't very happy with me, is the girl had, she ended up with marks, and we looked at her and we're like, oh, there's a little bit there, just make sure you take care of it. The next day she woke up and it looked like she had, try to make out with a fucking train. Like she was like just horribly fucking marked up, and she was like, it's okay because I don't have a shoot for a couple of days, and the day two it was even worse.
Oh
and
gosh, yeah, because it gets worse before it gets better.
He sent a picture and was like, what? And I don't remember the exact verbiage, but he's a very sweet man until you get him angry, and then no one wants to be around that. And he was upset, and he called Becky or text Becky or whatever and kind of let her have it. But obviously he was saving the good for me, and I knew it. So I got ahead of it, and I love you, Mark, in case you ever watch this or listen. I called him and I was like, hey, look, I fucked up. I'm sorry. You've been working with me my entire career, and you know that I would never intentionally do anything like this. I fucked up. I'm sorry. This is my proposal to make it better. He was like, done. Okay. And it was over with. He was very much like, hey, because I was like, I'm either going to say, hey, Mark, you wanted to talk to me?
Oh.
Or I just man the fuck up and tell him and say, hey, I fucked up. I did you wrong. I'm sorry. It wasn't intentional. Accidents happen. Out of 15 years, this isn't a bad run.
Was she very easily bruised?
She was super easy. She turned, we've worked together several times, and she's turned red and never had a mark on her. For some reason, she marked horribly this time.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know if it was diet.
Yeah, I was going to say diet.
Maybe.
Because if she's not been marked before, then it's suggestive of something.
Yeah. So, but either way, I was like, you know what? Shit happens. And I'm not going to sit there and be like, well, maybe she should strike it.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit happens. So I just like, please. And then at the end of it, I was like, are we cool? And he was like, we're cool. And he was still like, I'm going to say we're cool, but I'm still mad at you right now.
He doesn't hold grudges, though. No. He's awesome.
Because if we did, then you wouldn't have been here.
Yeah.
He'd have been like, you know what? Fuck you, because Angela's not coming now. Oh. I know. Damn, I'm sorry. But yeah, that's the way I've referred to him as Daddy Speaks for years at this point.
Daddy Speaks, Papa Speaks. Papa a lot of people, yeah.
That was a new one that I got. Lee Raven started calling me Papa.
Oh, yeah?
And I went, when I was running the upper floor, I'd had the, because Becky was pregnant at the time, so, and we had the slaves, and Becky, we lived in the city, so Becky would come by the armory, and all of the girls would call me daddy and her mama, so when she showed up, she got what you would expect, like the ideal situation having sex slaves. She would come in, and they'd swarm her. What do you want to drink? And one of them would run get a drink. The other one would put her feet up, and they were like, they would just swarm her to make her, and she was like, I could get used to this. And yeah. I was like, I bet you could. You know how much it would cost to have four women just laying around waiting for you to ask for something? But so the daddy thing happened there for a while. And then there's a select group of girls that to this day, that they're not even in the porn industry anymore, but I'm still friends with them. And then I still get the daddy from them. That's why when you did daddy earlier on set, I was like, all right, I'll take that. Because I kind of went past the like, call me daddy thing, mm-hmm. like my new voice, call me daddy. And it's just like jump straight to papa. Because I feel like I'm more of a, it's the going back to what you said earlier, the caring. Like mm-hmm. I very much am nurturing, and I'm like, don't let these motherfuckers fuck you over, and don't you do that, and are you okay, and let me go check on you, and I'm going to call your agent and talk to them for you.
Yeah.
So it's very much like a papa nurturing, protective kind of, which makes it even dirtier because I do all the dirty things. But it's not the hey daddy kind of thing. So I was kind of like, you know what? I don't mind skipping the daddy and going straight to papa.
Yeah. And I think that's why so many people feel safe around you too, is that, yeah, you might have a little bit of a sadistic streak, but
there's a lot of sadistic in there.
But you know what? I think you safe. Keep a lot of that inside, I see more of your nurturing side. And
right.
Yeah.
Shh, they're watching.
I mean, he's very mean all the time. And even when the camera's not rolling, he's just horrible.
That hurts me. It's me tugging my ear.
My hands are under the desk because I'm actually handcuffed now.
We're just playing. So how much time do we have? We got a little bit of time.
I know. The alarm will go off. I set an alarm because I knew that we could just chat.
Get going.
The night away. And I have a flight to catch at a certain catch.
There's the big red clock over there.
There is, but I don't want to keep looking over there.
I know. So what's my next question?
You can look at your phone if you want.
Oh, I only had two questions.
Oh. When you said a couple, you literally meant a couple too.
I was more focused on today.
That's what I want you to be focused on.
When you started shooting porn, when you were like, all right, I'm in America and I'm doing this thing and I'm doing it, was it everything that you wanted? Because I know I asked earlier about the certain thing, but this is more of like when you started shooting it here, were you just like, fuck, this is really good? Was it up to where you wanted it to be, or was it higher, or like, okay, hopefully it gets better?
So I'll have to answer this in parts, because when I first started, it was everything that I wanted to be, in the sense that I was so excited to get into the industry. I'd wanted to be in the porn industry for so long. And when I finally turned 18, I was ready and raring to go.
Right.
And I got in and I loved it. I loved being able to express my sexuality with positive and supportive peers. It was an incredible experience. But I also got to a point where I was helping to bring to life fantasies that weren't my own, which is fine. I enjoy that. But I had my own vision of sexuality, my own vision of the kind of porn that I wanted to make.
Right.
And even though I was shooting for other companies and I loved the experience, I had a great time on set, met incredible people, had incredible sex. So I absolutely am grateful for all those experiences. I realized that if I wanted to control all the minute details, that I was going to have to shoot my own porn.
Right.
So, and that's from everything from the way the hair and makeup look, to the wardrobe, to my scene partners and the kinds of acts that we were going to do. I mean, obviously I have a choice not to do certain acts, but right. I wanted a certain look. I really wanted the freedom to be able to shoot the gonzo sex that I wanted with the partners that I chose.
Right.
And while, I mean, there was a lot of occasions where I was set up with people that I wanted to have sex with and we got to have great scenes, but it was still, again, not my vision. So it wasn't until I started shooting my own porn that I really was able to do everything that I ever wanted.
Right.
So, but in saying that, all of my experience up to that point were still great. It was just, well, I didn't really want my hair curled for that, or,
right,
you know, I would have preferred not to do a storyline.
Right.
Yeah.
So you are directing and performing for your stuff. Do you ever do just directing to where you're not in front of the camera?
Never. I love to fuck. I mean, I've had some great offers to direct for other companies, and I'm very grateful for the offer. At this stage in my career, I want to be in front of the camera. I'm not finished exploring. And maybe, you know, the time will come where I'm like, you know what? I feel like I'm ready to step back and just be behind the camera. But
I hope that day doesn't come.
Yeah, I just, no, I don't think so, because I've had some great offers and I'm like.
But that's proof. It's like the money's not everything. And if you are still passionate about it, it's, I mean, it's hard. I mean, there's clearly people who are performing and they're directing together, and there's all the different combinations. And I love that there's now a better opportunity coming from these bigger companies that are saying, hey, you've been performing this whole time. How do you feel about getting behind the camera and doing this? Because for a long time, you were either a director or you were a performer, and to get behind the camera was a big deal, and it was a hard step to try and come behind it. And unfortunately, there were a lot of models who excuse me, who there was no way out at that point. They suddenly looked up when people weren't booking anymore, and they're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? And yeah. People are like, well, you're washed up, for lack of a better term, but you're not as popular as you were. You're not being shot as much as you were. Why are you coming around here? And it wasn't quite that harsh by any, or wasn't even close to being that harsh. But I feel like there's a lot more opportunities now, because I think the companies, the big companies, are seeing the benefit and saying, hey, if we put Angela White's name as a director on here, even if she's not in there, it's going to do something. Or if we have fill in the blank other big name, and it's giving opportunities to at least dip your foot in the pool and say, I like that and I want to do it maybe later, or that's not my thing.
Well, I mean, I've got name recognition, and so obviously if I was a director and putting my name on things, there is that, and I'm right. sure that some of my fans would follow me in that stage of my career. But also more and more women are directing, which is great, and
right.
and their vision can be slightly different. It's not always, but also I lost my train of thought.
Because you're sitting across from my sexy ass.
I know. It's because you picked up your water bottle and put it to your lips, and I was like, ooh.
Bet he looks good with something in his mouth.
Yeah, that's what
you fuckers will never know.
What was my point? Oh, yes. My other point was that having directors who have also been performers is great, because you don't have to have been a performer to have empathy for performers and right. understand, what kind of comfort they may need on set. But if you've been a performer, that gives you a whole other level of inside knowledge of, right. Knowing what it's like to fuck on camera and the needs and expectations. But I just love fucking, and I just.
What's your favorite project that you've done so far? There's a hair, right?
Oh yeah. Where there. Is it? Let me just put some more on the.
Like, I keep looking at you, and I'm like, don't stare at her boobs. Yeah. And I'm like, but there's a hair there. Because you've done several things that that are phenomenal, and I feel like you've kind of, and I know you're very modest about this stuff like this, but I feel like you've kind of like blazed a trail for some of the things. Like, it's. I think most of the stuff, I don't want to talk and be like, well, if I talk about something and it hasn't come out yet, then you can tell me. I think everything.
Yeah, I don't think you can talk about anything that hasn't come out. So,
because you've done your, I think it's Angela Loves Girls or Loves Women.
Loves Women, yep.
Yep. You, and one of this is one of the trailblazing things, is like you kind of have broken down, or helped at least break down the wall of female, straight female performers, because you're not gay when you do lesbian stuff apparently in this industry, but you've broken down the wall and kind of pulled the taboo back a little bit of doing like trans girls, which I think is amazing, because it's like it's still, which I don't understand this society, but it's still so taboo. But I feel like you stepping up and saying, hey, this is what I'm going to do, because it's something that you wanted to do, that it's everyone's been kind of laid back and been like, oh, it's not that bad. Because for the longest time, even you working with a crossover performer, a male crossover performer, cis male, to be specific, that it was, you're not doing that. It's going to ruin your career. And then that could slowly pull. The stigma is always going to be there, I think. But then the trans thing.
I don't know if it will always be. I mean, the industry is changing, and yeah. the industry is more open and progressive. So I don't know if it will, maybe there will always be a little bit. I hope not, but it's certainly gotten a lot better.
It has.
Yeah.
Because for a long time it was, unfortunately, it was standard that kind of all of the, and this is a bunch of shit that's behind the scenes that you guys probably, I don't know, this is a whole another podcast, but there's this unfortunate not understanding maybe, or I don't want to say ignorant and say that people are ignorant. Well, whatever the situation is, there's a misunderstanding, and there's been this stigma that's prevented certain things from happening. And I think that's the same thing with a lot of the trans porn. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, oh, you know what? Well, I don't give a fuck, because this is what I want to do. And so I think it's awesome. That's
Thank
all.
You. And for those listening that don't know, Angela Loves Women is in its fifth installment, and Angela Loves Women Volume 5 features Natalie Mars, who is a trans performer.
She's
and
so hot.
She's amazing. I love her so much.
So you put her, you didn't make, because obviously she's a woman, so yes. there's not like, oh, we're doing the trans thing. She's a woman and she's in the, I love that.
No, there was no like big hoo-ha or press release like, ooh, we're including a trans woman. No, Natalie Mars is a woman.
Right.
And she deserves to be in Angela Loves Women alongside everybody else that has starred in the in the series.
I love that so much.
So, yeah, she's, oh, God, I love her so much.
Just you say that, like, I feel like I'm sitting over here like, I wish we could just hug right now.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's so, and it's, but again, it's trailblazing. It's doing things that, that has to be promoted, and we have to do a press release, and we call AVN and call XBiz and tell the whole world that we're going to put a woman in a movie about women.
Yeah.
And letting it alone be that without having so hard that, like, I just, I thank you, Angela. That makes me so happy. Like, well, I'm, because it's every little thing I feel is chipping away at the bullshit.
I never like to think of it as trailblazing because I like to think of it as how it should be, how things should be.
Right.
But I also, I feel like I can use my privilege within the industry to maybe help change things or even make it easier for other people to do things that they want. Because really all I'm doing is things that I want to do, which is have sex with performers that I have incredible chemistry with.
Right.
Or, you know, sometimes I have to guess I'm going to because this might be the first time we're fucking.
Hope this works out.
Well, I do a lot of market research, which really means I watch a lot of porn.
I'm going to use that one and write that down too. Market research.
Yeah, next time you get caught.
All of you should use that next time you get caught watching porn. Market research.
Well, I mean, what I do is I, whenever I'm considering casting someone in my movies, whether whatever their gender, I just want to see how they relate or how they connect to the other partner that they're working with on screen.
Right.
So, and I can, I feel like I'm a pretty good judge of whether someone's being authentic or not.
Right.
And so I don't book based on looks. Like I don't, I mean, of course it's great when someone's smoking.
Natalie's fucking smoking hot. Yeah, so you got lucky with that one because she's smoking hot and she's a hell of a performer.
But when you watch someone's porn, I mean, everybody could have an off day. So I don't just watch one scene.
Research.
Yeah, gotta do my research. But when you can see someone's, when they're in a scene and they're looking into their on-screen partner's eyes and they're really into it and they're having real orgasms and they're just, you can feel the connection and the chemistry and the passion. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna book you. That's
right. And that's I feel like that's the one good thing that's come from the porn industry and social media the way it is because they get to know, no matter what level of Angela they get to know through social media, they're getting to know something besides the girl who sits there and fucks on camera. So having that, I feel like people, and I watched the shift with the bondage stuff. Like it used to, you had to be like, oh, please, mister, don't hurt me. And you had to be the scared. And there's nothing wrong. And I still love playing, having the girls play damsel as long as that's their thing. Yeah. But there's also the people started suddenly like, I love the chemistry between JP and Angela or JP and whoever. And they, and realizing that the viewers that are still, you know, jerking off to this are like, you can see it. Mm-hmm. And it's knowing the little bit of you and the little bit of me that they get through whatever other, you know, window to see it and be like, that's what we want is because of the chemistry. And it's not like you have to, oh, let me put my porn face back on or let me be the big mean man. And it suddenly became, you could be turned on and aroused and smile the entire time I had you tied up and torturing you rather than like, oh, please. Oh, that hurts so bad. Okay. Touch it. Okay. Don't touch it. Like kind of situation.
Well, I'll be honest. The first time we shot, I was worried about like, how am I supposed to be like in this last scene, I'm laughing.
You're smiling.
Smiling and laughing.
You're basically eye fucking me the entire time. You're like, get your ass in here.
And I'm laughing all the way up until you hurt me. Just laughing. But yeah, I wasn't sure if perhaps they wanted me to act really scared. And you know what? Sometimes I am scared, and that's when they get that reaction.
Right.
Although I'm never, I mean, sometimes you scare me a bit with like the breath play, but because I trust you, it's a trust fear. I don't know.
It's a mind fuck to know that you are completely safe and yet this motherfucker is doing everything in your power to make you not believe that you're safe. Yes. That's essentially what's happening.
Yes.
Because you know all you have to do is say the word and look at the camera and everything's going to stop in case I missed all the other signs. But I've had girls do the mind fuck. I did one where I blindfolded a girl And she was like, please don't use the cattle prod on me, but I want you to scare me with it. So I blindfolded her and I stood behind her and would just and charge it in her ear. That's what I need to do, is set me up a cattle prod noise on this thing. And she got to a point where she was a drooling, slobbering, sobbing, like she was just squalling like a baby. And I was like, you know, you're safe. And she's like, no, I'm not. Oh, and afterwards, it's like, you knew you were. And she's like, well, of course I did. But you had me so fucked up that I questioned everything. And I was like, that's pretty fucking hot.
But it's cool to be able to get to that point in a scene where, like, deep in the back of your mind, you know you can call mercy or red or whatever. But you get so into the moment that you almost forget.
Right.
That's cool.
That's what the waterboarding thing too. Like that one is, I don't know if you've ever watched any of that happen, but.
Well, that's why, I mean, I keep ticking it, but keep ticking yes. But I'm like, I think that you're a good judge of probably when I'm ready. And so even though I tick it, when you don't waterboard me, I'm like, he's probably right. I'm probably not there yet.
But
if I ever get there.
I've only done it to probably less than 10 people. And doing it, one, is the trust level, which I think we have. Two is the willingness and saying, I want this to happen. And then it's just finding the right time to do it. Mm-hmm. Because it is. There's more of a mind fuck, because the whole thing that waterboarding is, it's just mind fuckery. Like, it's putting something over your face and sprinkling minimal amount of water, and your brain basically goes, fuck you, I got this, we need to get out of here. And you instantly go into panic mode, and it's, we don't have a glass out here, but it's half a mug, like a regular little coffee mug, not like, it's like a teacup, it's like that. But it's the watching you, because every girl's like, well, I'll just hold my breath, he can't get me. Well, I'm patient, so I just sit there and wait, and you finally have held your breath so long that you, and then when you do, boop. Because I've got it sitting, like if this is the cup, it sits right on the edge. So I'm waiting. So all you do is when you do it, I twist that much and it dumps into your face. Like it's sitting there. So, but you have the big thing and you drop it and it makes the noise and I let you go. But I tell everybody, I was like, when it happens, know that there's a small part of your soul that I get to keep and I put in my pocket with the rest of them.
Wow.
It's super hot.
I was just noticing how big your hands are as you were talking. As you were, I know. Like, yeah.
My amount of fisting is even smaller than the amount of waterboarding.
I can imagine.
I've had one girl who had an ass capable of this thing, and it took her.
Do you go in this way or do you go in this way?
I go in this way and then gently fold as I get in. Oh,
yeah, that.
But this, no matter.
I mean, getting to there, okay, I could do that.
Yeah.
That much.
And there's nothing. That's like, that's squeezing it, and that's. That's bigger than a soup can.
No.
Yeah.
No, we're good.
That's a lot of commitment.
No. I know myself, and I know my body, and my body doesn't want that. No.
But what I usually do is I try, and if it feels like they're willing, and I get to here, and we can almost, all right, pop my thumb out, and I can get the knuckles almost through, well, that's about the same size as the head of the Hitachi, so I'll just put that in there instead. Mm. I've been...
Oh, see, I didn't
hear that. You don't hear it?
It's no, like I didn't hear it.
Crumbling. I'm trying not to do my sushi comment because tonight is sushi dinner. Ooh, we're getting close.
Yeah, getting all right. Close.
Damn it. All righty. Because I want to get this part in because I definitely want to make sure we cover this part. Damn it. All right. So, as much as I love this, we're going to wrap it up. But.
That's my alarm going off.
Oh, is that what that was? Because I've been watching. I'm like, okay, it's coming.
Let me make sure it's. Totally off. Yes.
So I wrap them up with advice, and you've kind of given some advice before, but if you could give one piece of advice to someone coming in the industry, someone new that's in the industry, what would you tell them?
Be able to say no. Like, sometimes you're not going to know what your boundary is. Like, it would be great if before you even come into the industry to really think hard about the things that you want and the things that you don't want. The things that you want, that's easier. You know what you like most of the time.
Right.
Sometimes you don't know that you don't like something until it happens. So you need to be able to be confident enough to say stop, no, red in this situation, whatever it is. You need to have I don't want to say you need to have strong boundaries, because those, you don't necessarily know what those boundaries are yet when you first get in.
Right, you're still learning.
Yeah, but when once you learn them, then you need to be able to say no. You have to, and it's such a good skill just to have in life anyway. But so many women don't know how to say no. They can't say no. You know, they're brought up, you know, women generally, we're brought up to be yes, to be compliant, to do as we're told.
Just do what you're told.
Yeah, yeah. And in this industry, as a woman, I mean, this is good information for any performer, but you need to be able to say no, and saying no does not make you a diva. It's all in the delivery as well.
Right.
Like, you can say that you don't want to do something in a, like, what I usually start with, like on a regular mainstream set, is I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I've never had a situation where I've said, I don't feel comfortable doing that, where anybody's ever questioned me. Immediately, whenever I've said, I don't feel comfortable doing that, everyone said, absolutely, okay, we won't do that.
Right.
So, but you need to be able to say that, because no one can read your mind.
Yeah. That tells people a lot with what I'm doing too. I'm like, I can be as responsible as I possibly can as a performer director with you, but I need you to tell me certain things that are happening, because I'm not inside your body. I can't tell that the tingling or the numbness has happened. And I can't tell that, I mean, I'm pretty good, but that's also because I'm a hands-on director, because I'm in there with you and we're very intimate with the situation. But most of the directors aren't. And the male talent's trying to focus on what they're doing. So it's a lot of times there's this, if you don't stand up for yourself, no one, I tell people all the time, you're the best advocate for yourself, and no one's going to stand up for you like you will.
And you know what? If you're a great performer and you're moaning and it looks like you're having a good time, I mean, that's an asset, but also, like, you need, no one can read your mind.
Right.
If it's not good, if you don't like it, if it has to stop, you need to say it. You need to have that strength in you.
Yeah. Because there's not a pay, as far as I can tell from what I have, some of the stories that I've heard from people, that there's not a paycheck. There's not a big enough paycheck to give you back that peace of mind that you, fuck, I just got through it. I hoped that it was going to end soon, or I knew it was almost. There's no money in the world. I can't imagine that there is.
I mean, listen, it's a job. I mean, for me, it's a journey and a passion as well. But in the end, it's also a job.
Right.
And in any job, there are things, I don't want to say you have to get through, but sometimes it might be uncomfortable. Like, if you have to do reverse cowgirl for 10 minutes, your thighs are going to hurt. I mean, that's just part of the job. But when it's something that, like, something really hurts, or something is not right, or you don't feel comfortable, you have to.
Right.
And even then, if you're, like, really sore, you can say, can I take 2 minutes?
Yeah, can or I just whatever. Do something?
Yeah.
Or God forbid, stretch? The word that I hate to use is, but even if something happens that somehow triggers something bad that's happened in the past, like, you should be able to step up and go, I need a minute, or I need 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
That's my main advice. And do what you love. That's the, you know.
Yeah. I tell everybody, I was like, as soon as you're not passionate about it, you need to walk away.
Yeah.
No matter, fuck the paycheck, fuck rent, everything works itself out. And I've been in the shittiest of positions to where there wasn't, you know, whatever, financial situations. Everything at some point will work itself out, as long as you're trying hard enough and working hard enough. Yeah. But there's none of it's worth being here and tearing your soul out because, well, I don't want, I'd rather do this than that. Fuck that. Find something else.
Yeah.
Be passionate about it.
Yeah. And it'll make you successful in the business, because that passion will radiate across the screen.
Right.
If you're in front of the screen, you'll see it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like you said, you can watch, you know, for research, you can do your, it shows who's really loving it and who's not. I'm getting all kind of buzzing. All right.
I guess we
need to time this
now
out.
Now it's time for your sushi. Time for me to get to the airport.
Yes. I'm going to think about this day for a while.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Oh.
Thank you so much. You were amazing.
Thank you.
And
we'll see you
next time.
Soon. Yes.
Hopefully soon.
Yes.
AVN,
yes.
Are you going to be out for AVN?
I am going to be out for AVN. Okay. I'll see you then.
If nothing else, maybe we'll meet up and have a sushi.
That'd be great. You can take me to a good sushi spot.
I love it. It's off strip, though. You got to come off strip to come see
All
me.
All right. See. I'm down.
All right.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank
I love you. I miss you. I'll see you next time.
Cross the table hugs.
All right. See ya.
Bye.